this 2 days ago and posted it on X, and I saw, I love reading comments. I read about 100 comments real fast. And I saw 4 or 5 from pretty prominent accounts saying, you're making it up, Alex Jones. The Sandy Hook families, they're really represented by the deep state. It's on record now. They don't want your identity. They don't want your social media. That's ridiculous. In the report, I show Reuters AP with the exact headline, Sandy Hook families want court to take Alex Jones's real Alex Jones and other social media. I mean, that was in the court as a filing. There it is, Reuters. Sandy Hook families want to seize Alex Jones' social media accounts. So I remember 6 years ago when they were deplatforming me. At first they said, no one's deplatforming him. No one's censoring him. Then they go, yeah, we did. It's good. He should be totally banned. Take his bank accounts away as well and throw him in jail. So the left has this totalitarian problem where they don't even want their own constituents to know how dangerous this is, Robert. So you're talking about the stealing of identity. They are now filing. I was in a meeting yesterday, saw the documents. That they're going to do it again on this hearing coming up on the 11th and then the one on the 24th in Houston, Texas, at Judge Lopez's chambers or courtroom. Giving you intel, what your take on this. And they say, we also want the name Alex Jones. I mean, this is like asking for the moon. And you explain it in law to people. Some of my lawyers, I looked it up. Even ChatGPT says it's unheard of. Why would they shoot for the moon like that?
Well, if the goal is to continue to use this case to set perilous precedent. To say that they can, because somebody can license the use of their name, the new novel claim is they can take and own your name against your will, own your identity against your will, have the exclusive right to the use of your identity. Basically, it would not only be censoring and suppressing your speech, but being able to steal your identity to put out fake news and information, right? Like they could have Alex Jones endorsing Kamala Harris, right? They could have Alex Jones attacking Donald Trump. They could do that.
And they could have AI do it, and it could even be look just like me. They could deepfake me.
Exactly. In fact, they're going a step further legally. They're claiming they could basically make you a chattel slave and be obligated to deliver whatever news messages they require. Because if you look at underneath the hood legally, they're claiming to own your identity, but also to own anything you say publicly, which means they could dictate what you say publicly. I mean, to make you basically chattel. I mean, it's like
that's what I was going to say before the break, and you stole my thunder. This is slavery.
That's exactly what it is. That's what it is. They believe through the bankruptcy estate that they now can own the person subject to that estate. They can own all public versions of that person, all public representations of that person.
So this is an overthrow of bankruptcy law and back to debtors' prisons in England.
That's exactly what it is. That's precisely what it is. It's a return to old peonage laws. And that's what they've wanted to reinstate this in one way, shape, or form. It's what the vaccines are about. It's what a whole bunch of things are about. If they own your body, it's what food freedom is about. If they control what food you're allowed to eat, they control your body, they control you. They decide what medicine goes into your body. If they own your body, they own you. And if they could own your estate to such a degree they own you, all public representations of you, all public versions of you, all public statements of you, all public accounts of you, then they own you. And that's their goal. They want everybody to be reduced to chattel.
And folks, we're not joking. We're not exaggerating. I've already got trademark, copyright, free speech lawyers working on this, but can you talk to me soon? Can you send me some case law and like give me 1-page brief on this, please?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, because there's good legal theory out there that this is inalienable. So some good constitutional lawyers about a decade ago saw where this was going. Where they were coming up with these ideas, these dangerous ideas in the corporate legal world. It's like how you flag things by reading the white papers. I flag things by reading these legal reports. And so there's good scholarship that what your image, your public image is inalienable. What does the Declaration of Independence talk about? What's the beginning of it? Inalienable rights. These are rights that you cannot alienate from yourself. You cannot be stolen because you own you, not the government, not a corporation. Not anybody else. This is still America.
And then by extension, they didn't live up to it then, but within the next 100 years, they did end the slavery based on that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what Lincoln's great speech at Gettysburg is about. It was time to restore and fulfill the American constitutional promise. And they're trying to strip it from us, and they're using your cases as the template to do so.
They're trying to cut our sons' penises off and our daughters' breasts off. We've got breaking news on that coming up straight ahead. Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
Got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me.
He never gives up. He's Alex Jones, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, worldwide.
Well, I thought the day I met you, you were meek as a
10 weeks ago, an agent of the Justice Department, outside of law, ordered my doors closed, and I said no. Weeks later, a judge fired him. These people are wild, and they'll do anything. And it is a vigilanteism throughout the government against the people, and we got to stand against them. I want to hit one more story and then get a quick take from Robert Barnes, great constitutional lawyer, very popular talk show host, an amazing historian, an old school hand of the world, as the Highwayman would say, and that great song, Desperado's Waiting for a Train. We now have it revealed, mainstream news revealed, Georgia school shooter Colt Gray was bullied for being gay. Just like the last seven mass shooters have been trans, girl to boy, boy to girl, and they were mad, told to be angry, put on SSRIs, and he made threats. The FBI was following for a year and a half, but political correction didn't do anything to him. Georgia school shooter Colt Gray, Daily Mail reports, was bullied by classmates who called him gay. His father told detectives in an interview last year. He's now been charged with multiple counts of manslaughter for letting him have the gun. Colin Gray, 54, made the claims when he was interviewed by the Jackson County Sheriff's Office after the FBI received a tip that the son had threatened a shooting at his middle school. They had cops at the school, but nothing was done. Just like Uvalde. It was very difficult for him to go to school and not get picked on, Colin Gray told an investigator, according to transcript of the conversation obtained by the Daily Mail. So he went and, I guess, found the people, two students, a coach, and a teacher. The father added, it went from one thing to another. I was trying to get him on the golf course, the golf team. They were like, okay, look, Colt's gay. He's dating that guy. Just ridiculed him day after day. Oh, so more leftists killing people. Meanwhile, Nashville transgender shooter Aubrey Hale's manifesto released. They suppressed it for over a year. Wanted to kill Christians because they didn't support her becoming a boy. So this is the majority of them doing this, and it only appears to get worse. They said they're going to have their trans day of rage, their gay day of rage, and I guess that's perfect. Leftists go out and kill innocent people. Then Kamala Harris tries to take our guns, and she's pledged to ban all semi-automatics. Your take on that, Robert, and then big picture on the Trump campaign.
Well, I think it reveals the necessity of the Trump-Kennedy alliance, because even Kennedy, well, you know, longtime gun control guy, has shifted his position on school shootings. He said it's clear that school shootings are being caused by issues other than access to guns. He goes that there's something wrong with how we're treating our children. And it's part of a broader process. They're contaminating and poisoning our children in terms of the food they get. They're contaminating and poisoning our children in terms of the vaccines and medicines that they're forced to take. And now they've been poisoning and contaminating our children in terms of the ideas they fill their heads with, whether it's in Hollywood. I mean, this goes back to right after Sandy Hook happened. When you talked about it, you identified the problem is what Hollywood is doing to these kids. The problem is what the psychologists are doing to these kids, put them on all these selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors that have these extraordinarily dangerous side effects, like homicidal and suicidal activities related to how they're neurologically screwing with kids' brains. That, you know, all of these issues that the common culture was pushing this down on all of us. And you know, a decade later, that's what we're still seeing. And we're still seeing the consequences of it. The media deliberately highlights and high profiles these school shootings though they know that is the main trigger for more school shootings to occur in the future, because they want them to occur to support their political narrative. But what it reflects is the complete poisoning of our children. And great credit to Trump, great credit to Kennedy, to say, as Nicole Shanahan did it in her Kennedy ad for Bobby to finish the job that John and his father were trying 60 years ago, that's what we need. We need to purge the government of these corrupt administrative bureaucracies that have been in bed with big business, big food, big ag, big pharma, big tech, to big media, to ruin our children. Every time the school shooting happens, it's a sign of what these big entities have done to our
They know exactly what they're doing. They know that it creates copycats. It's a science. And now you have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. coming out saying there will be a reckoning with all the deep state groups. And he put out an email and statement yesterday fully endorsing Trump, saying because they won't take him off the ballot in some of these battlegrounds, everybody in all states should vote for Trump. Few minutes on the campaign, on Trump, 59 days, 58 days left. What you expect the deep state to do, what we can do to get him in.
Yeah, I mean, the key is for people to stay active, stay conscientious, don't get blackpilled, don't become a doomer. They need you to believe your vote doesn't count. As I always like to say, the devil's greatest trick is convincing people he doesn't exist. The greatest trick the system ever pulls is convincing you you can't resist. Use how Alex has handled all the Sandy Hook litigation, all the Russiagate nonsense, all the attempts to come after him. That don't forfeit. Be like Dylan Thomas told his father. Don't rage against the dying of the light. Don't just die easily in the night. So don't be a doomer. Don't be one of those people who thinks you can't change things. Don't be one of those people who think, they're going to fix the election no matter what we do, because that's what they want you to believe. The only way they are guaranteed to win is if you don't try. And so no matter how difficult the odds may seem, no matter how powerful they may appear to be or may actually be, if you believe, that's the only way the world changes. And that's what Donald Trump talked about, Art of the Deal, that I used to read as a kid. And it was, you plan for the contingencies, but you expect the best, because that's the only way the best happens. So if you continue to believe in America, continue to support InfoWars, continue to support independent sources of information, continue to get independent, get outside of the big tech, big media, big ag, big pharma, control grid, live a little bit more like the Amish do, and stay away from that control grid, and engage the American public process and political process and participate in a meaningful way, then we can overcome all the odds, because Trump has perfectly organized the campaign. He's now with Robert Kennedy on public health, Tulsi Gabbard on national security, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy on the administrative state. So he is aligned. He has said he understood, stands the mistakes that he made in his first term at trusting the establishment to be fair and decent, and that he ain't going to repeat that mistake a second time. The moment they tried to kill him was the moment the worm turned and is now carrying a political Uzi. And it's going to change the way in which the entire trajectory of this country can go.
And that was the big tell. We're about to close here. I have one more clip I want to play, and then we're going to hand the baton to Jay Dyer. All their fake polls that she's way ahead, all that's been proven to be crap. They're paying for it. Fake news stories everywhere, all over the major newspapers, all over Google, all over Yahoo. They can't even hide it. When they tried to kill him on July 13th, it showed that they know they don't have enough dead people, enough folks out of district, enough in Zuckerberg's database to do it again. Zuckerberg coming out and throwing in the towel, falling on his sword, that was another big bellwether, wasn't it?
No doubt. In fact, you see it with people like Bill Ackman. I mean, a lot of these big tech people, billionaire people, are publicly siding up with Trump. I mean, Elon is doubling down and tripling down on all of this. So, I mean, the bottom line is they antagonize the wrong people. And enough people recognize how critical this election is to the future trajectory of the country. And Trump is aligned on the critical principles and precepts of populist causes to be the best president America has ever had and ever will have. And that's the key to this upcoming election. So don't let anything distract or detract from that objective. Don't let any doomerism do it. Don't let anything else do it. That the just march forward, stick with your beliefs, stick with your ideas, stick with your action. And manifest it in your day-to-day
and share
life.
Our videos and articles and your live show and your archives, and just share everybody they're attacking. Anybody they're attacking, Tucker Carlson, Benny Johnson, all just support Joe Rogan's hitting on all cylinders. They killed us on purpose with the shots. They're covering up. The shots are killing everybody. It's on purpose. He's now becoming purely hardcore, and then it becomes totally mainstream. He's a bellwether, and we win. I want to play this clip of Congressman Massey with Shanahan, his VP, RFK's VP, saying something key that I want Barnes to close on here. And Trump's already doing it. He's not going to be fooled this time and bring in a bunch of deep staters because, quote, they're the best. And like Reagan thought, oh, I'll bring in, you know, my opposition because, you know, now they're going to work on my team. And they shot him. The Reagan movie, by the way, is excellent, very historical. And he really was that good of a goody two-shoes. He made a lot of mistakes, too, like with the vaccines. The rest of them are just like Trump. But Trump's even moving away from that now. But the key is keeping the backstabbers out. Here's the clip.
Where Trump messed up in his first term was he picked some bad help. Yeah. I mean, John Bolton, come on. What were you thinking? Okay. We say this in Congress, right? Yeah. Like, staff is policy. I joke that I don't want all the same ideology in my office because you would, you know, you need to have arguments inside the office. So half of my people are Ron Paul people and the other half are Rand Paul people. And they argue all the time. So we're very diverse ideologically in my office. But
that's a funny vision.
Yeah, but in Trump's administration, it's going to be so critical. If he picks John Bolton's, you're going to get warmed over neocon, you know, policy. And but if he picks, I don't want to pick for him. But there are lots of good picks out there for different things.
There really are. That's the thing that I think I'm so excited about is broadening the spectrum of who can both bring that qualified voice, but is going to be fresh and not conflicted.
A populist unification party to make America great and safe and the apple of the world's eye again. In closing, give us a quick rundown of who you put in what positions in the cabinet, Robert Barnes.
Well, I think it's smart to have Robert Kennedy be sort of a roving commissioner so he doesn't have to go through, get Senate approval, but have him in charge of commissions of proving the great deep state, deepest crimes and concerning the assassination of his father and his uncle, but also a commission on public health, and let people like him and Tulsi Gabbard and J.D. Vance and Thomas Massey and Rand Paul advise as to those critical positions of cabinet roles because they know who the good actors are and the bad actors are, who the white hats are and the black hats are. Thomas Massey, for example, would make a fantastic Secretary of Agriculture. He could completely, I mean, this is an actual farmer, for crying out loud. It'd be nice to have a real farmer, not a big corporate farmer. Remember, Sonny Perdue was there. That guy was Boss Hog, but just retarded. You know, the same way Joe Biden was LBJ, just but retarded. I mean, that's who Sonny Perdue was. I had to deal with him in the nonsense of the Georgia election 2020. But the appoint people that listen to them. And that's what Trump is saying. He's going to let J.D. Vance, Vivek Ramaswamy, Elon Musk, these people give him advice. He's going to put them in commissions of influence so they can make real directions about administrative policy so we can completely reform and
restructure. Yeah, let's talk about that. Elon Musk in a non-paid position on Government Efficiency Bureau, I mean, which will then recommend which agencies to say bye-bye, which agencies to cut. I mean, Trump is really signaling everything, and he's actually doing it. You're right. After they tried to kill him, he was already getting better, but he like accelerated at light speed into woo. But hey, we can't. 50 something days. They're really going to try to kill him now, Robert.
Yeah, we just have to be aware, be conscientious, be conscious, call it out whenever we see it. I mean, look at what happened. You call out everything that's happening to this criminal sentencing, you expose it for what it is, and the judge postpones it until after Election Day. So if American people stay active, that's the key. I mean, the American Revolution succeeded because ordinary people chose to make it succeed.
Bingo.
You can make the second revolution succeed by you choosing to make it succeed, by following the peaceful, democratic, constitutional processes that our founding fathers established. Follow those. Don't be deterred. And we can prevail.
But you got it. I realize you're in the middle of the second American Revolution. Robert Barnes, how people find your fabulous program with Viva Fry?
Everything at vivabarneslaw.locals.com.
Or just search your name on X. Robert, talk to you soon. Thanks for the time. Amazing interview.
Glad to be here.
All right, I appreciate the mighty Jay Dyer. I love having him on every Friday. Sorry I took some of his time. He understands I do that occasionally. But let me just do this real quick, and then I hand the baton to Jay Dyer. I want to have him on as a guest very, very soon. Ladies and gentlemen, I need your support, plus I have great products. Go to drjonesnaturals.com. drjonesnaturals.com for amazing supplements, super high-quality nano silver products, the highest quality colloidal silver products at the lowest prices you're going to find. Next Level Foundational Energy is not a traditional stimulant, but it has that effect with no letdown. It's incredible. Believe me, you want to get Next Level Foundational Energy at drjonesnaturals.com. Just drjonesnaturals.com. That is outside of InfoWars. If they shut us down, that's his company. He's going to be a big sponsor. It is critical that you support drjonesnaturals.com. Plus, their amazing products. We have all the great InfoWars MD products like the gummies and the 1,000 milligram tincture. They're so good for inflammation and your focus and just being calm. So amazing. That's at InfoWarsStore.com. The Nitric Boost is 40% off. So is the 1,000 milligram vitamin C with rosehips and zinc. That's so good for everything in your body. That sale ends next week. So the vitamin C, 1,000 milligram, the nitric boost for your blood and cardiovascular system and everything to counter what's happening. That's all at InfoWarsStore.com. That sale's about to end as well. And there's some big sales about to end. We're about to sell out of, my dad's about to sell out of Next Level Foundational Energy at drjonesnaturals.com. Now, the incredible Jay Dyer and his amazing wife and fellow researcher take over now, and then Owen Schroyer in 40 minutes.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. Thank you, Alex. Glad to be here. Today, we're going to be talking about a couple subjects that you might not think are related, but in fact are related. And Jamie's done some really excellent research on that. We're going to talk about the trans agenda first, its origins in ancient pagan religions. And then we're going to talk about the somewhat forgotten topic, although many have heard of this, the architecture and symbolism of Washington, D.C. And you're going to find out that actually both of these topics overlap quite a bit. What do you want to start us with?
So I'm excited because I have two new shows on Rockfin, and the first one is called Goddess and Gala. Now, I didn't know if this word, the gala, came from these ancient cults, probably so, but the Met Gala begins or continues to be very interesting year after year with the costumes and the themes and everything. But let's go back to the Greco-Roman world, where they are having a competition between Christianity and paganism, and this cult keeps butting heads with the new Christian religion. And this cult is called the Galli. It's called G-A-L-L-I, Galli, right? Mm-hmm. So some historians say in their very temples can be seen deplorable mockery before a moaning crowd, men taking the part of women, revealing with boastful ostentation the impure and unchaste bodies. They broadcast their crimes and confess with superlative delight the stain of their polluted bodies. So what we are going to be talking about is, like, what does goddess worship have in common with welfare, self-mutilation, specifically castration, divination, prostitution, systematic prostitution, communism, pride parades, music, and Skittles. So all these things.
All of that in the ancient world. Which yes. Yes, you heard it right. Welfare.
Yeah.
If you sterilize yourself and join a prostitution cult, you'll be given a welfare ticket.
Well, most of these cults in the Greco-Roman era were devoted to the goddess Cybele and Attis, who actually, Cybele was a mother goddess. She was born a hermaphrodite, and the other gods actually castrated her because they feared her power being two sexes. So that's a very interesting story of the ancient world. And, of course, her consort was Attis, who also self-castrated himself because he did not want to marry her because she was a mother to him of sorts. And this is also where you get the stories of King Midas, who tried to help out Attis by giving him a wife, but Cybele messed it up and they had to both castrate themselves.
Well, it seems like a lot of these cults are really focused on control of sexual reproduction, which ties into today's Malthusian movement, antinatalism, depopulation. It's all about the same stuff today.
Right. So these mystery religions, they were one of early Christianity's major rivals. And other reports from historians say they wear effeminately nursed hair and dress in soft clothes. They can barely hold their heads up on their limp necks. Then, having made themselves alien to masculinity, swept up by playing flutes, they call their goddess to fill them with an unholy spirit so as to seemingly predict the future to idle men. So here we are getting the first
so, like RuPaul's Drag Race in the ancient world.
Miss Cleo.
Mixed with RuPaul. Okay.
Yes. So they would go through the streets and alleys of Carthage, exacting for merchants that by which they might shamefully live. So begging, acts of prostitution, that kind of stuff. They were part of the official Roman state religion with manifestations in every part of the Greco-Roman world and every level of society. So they weren't a fringe group. They were a officially recognized religion.
So the state wants this, by the way. That's the thing. Is like the state benefits from having these controllable, castrated groups that they can manipulate and use, keep them on. They're on the dole, even in the ancient world, which is crazy because I'm not saying every trans person today is on the dole or whatever. But the idea is that it usually goes together with controlling you through your base desires, you being on some form of, you know, state income. Then you're a completely bought and paid for.
Right. So this paper that I talk about on Rockfin, it's called Priests of the Goddess, Gender Transgression in Ancient Religion. It's a Stanford University by Will Roscoe. And they are contrasting three goddesses of the ancient world. And this is going to make sense more when we talk about secret architecture of D.C. and how Washington, D.C. was actually designed to be the body of a goddess and to house a goddess. So.
Now, that's an academic book, right? It's not a conspiracy book, right? So these aren't conspiracy books. These are both academic sources that she's been researching.
This is The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, The Masons and the Building of Washington, D.C. by David Obison. It's not a conspiracy book at all. So the three goddesses that they focus on in this academic paper are Sibyl, Inanna in Sumeria, which we talk about a lot in our live talks, and the Hijra of contemporary India and Pakistan.
I think this is relevant too for today, because even though in the ancient world they always connected the religion and sexuality and all of that to human control and the state, even though we think about that as not part of the state today, or that religion is divided from the state, actually the state has its own cult, its own religion. And particularly, they really find these types of goddess, feminist, new age spiritualities very useful precisely for this purpose. Again, as Aldous Huxley said, of creating a future new world religion, H.G. Wells says the same thing, to control people, to make them part of ultimately that technocratic beast system.
Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about here with syncretism of the goddess is a form of soft pantheism, where lots of goddesses meld and merge into other goddesses and myths of different times. So that's why he is contrasting these three and their devotees, especially worshiping by castration, right?
Yeah, I remember when I did a talk here on the Fourth Hour about a month or two ago, I covered the book, The Cambridge Companion to the Ancient Mysteries. And in that book, there was a chapter on the ancient mysteries and the Eleusinian cult, and how ultimately that was also something that derived rotated around human reproduction and sexuality. So the sexual impulse is absolutely, totally what the system and the state, these ancient empires, always saw as absolutely necessary to control. This goes back to Plato when he talked about how you had to control who can actually have children, who can reproduce, in order to have this totally controlled, ideal technocratic society. Yes, that's actually from Plato.
Yeah, so what we're talking about here is a overarching goddess with 1,000 names, they call her in the Secret Architecture book. But in Anatolia, she was called Kybele, Rhea, Mater Theon, Magna Mater, and Sibyl, but always depicted with a consistent iconography. So around 500 BC, one of these Gali priests came to Rome, and they stoned them, and they wouldn't allow them, but all these terrible things started happening, so they got superstitious and they started allowing these cults to have some kind of foothold because of natural disasters happening when they would try and get rid of them. So this religion of Sibyl came to Rome in about 204 BC, and the Roman Senate, responding to oracles, they said, imported the goddess, or rather the black meteorite lump said to represent her. Now, what does that remind you
Mecca.
Of? Yes.
Sorry, hold that. We are the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in a second.
COVID vax causes more heart damage than COVID virus and brain, blood, immune, cancer, reproductive study. I mean, there's so many of these studies. What do you make of that?
This finally settled the question, Alex. The COVID vaccine causes myocarditis in young people, not the infection. It's a government false narrative. It's been propagated through the American College of Cardiology and other agencies that the infection causes myocarditis. It doesn't.
Looking at this, then, we see these headlines constantly. When you follow the article, there's no link, there's no proof. It just says COVID's a greater risk of heart problems than the shot, and then they just lie.
It's essentially a giant medical lie perpetrated by the American College of Cardiology, the CDC, the NIH, This is a false narrative. No confirmed cases by adjudication or autopsy. Right. No hospitalizations and deaths. But the vaccine, I'm a cardiologist, Alex. I am knee deep in people with vaccine myocarditis causing heart failure. The vaccines do cause heart arrhythmias in some. It's inflammation in the heart, atrial fibrillation, sometimes ventricular arrhythmias.
COVID shots can enlarge and weaken the heart. Another study.
Heart failure can be an outcome of subclinical myocarditis. It's very important for people to realize they may not feel chest pain initially, but then they have the onset of effort intolerance, a pulmonary edema, congestion, and leg swelling. I have cases from Austin, Alex, referred up to my office. It's vaccine myocarditis and heart failure. They need treatment for this. The go-to is McCullough Protocol based spike protein detoxification with supplements available through onlinehealthnow.com.
Onlinehealthnow.com.
We have ample data now suggesting every cancer is increasing worldwide in virtually every organ system, and it's related to COVID-19 vaccines.
Now, I'm glad, Dr. McCullough, that you brought up how to detox, either whether you got COVID in the wild, which you know is a lot less from the studies, bad as taking the shots, but if you want to detox from it, you're one of the top research doctors out there, one of the, if not the most published. You have actually developed something, come up with something available at onlinehealthnow.com that you're saying is the go-to here. Spend a few minutes telling us about that anti-spike protein protocol.
It's the base of what we do now in long COVID and vaccine injury syndromes. It's caused because of accumulation of the spike protein from the infection, and in a massive doses from the vaccine, it gets stuck in the human body. We need to assist the body in clearing the spike protein. We have several years of observation, multiple peer-reviewed publications on this, very good support for doing this. It's nattokinase, which is a natural enzyme derived from the fermentation of soy. Japanese discovered it. Bromelain, a family of enzymes derived from the stems of pineapple. And then lastly, curcumin, derived from turmeric and Indian spice. These are all in capsule format. We give them in combination in between meals, and we're using accelerating doses. People are doing this across the world right now, Alex.
So you build up.
And we build up. Now listen, the initial starting doses were 2,000 units twice a day of natto. We're now going to 4,000 twice a day. We do give them in addition to blood thinners, and we have found sometimes it's the only way to dissolve the blood clots. When people get large vaccine blood clots, the blood thinners just hold it steady. They don't dissolve them. We actually have to give thrombolytic enzymes. That's McCullough Protocol-based spike protein detoxification.
And people can find out all the details of that at onlinehealthnow.com.
That's the go-to place. The wellness company provides, really the leading quality and the leading formulation. So the spike formulation has not only nattokinase, but five minor ingredients. We combine that with the curcumin and the bromelain for what we think is the ultimate spike detox trio. Onlinehealthnow.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Jay Dyer, Jay's Analysis, with my beautiful wife, Jamie. And I want to remind you that I will be at a live event if you're in the Florida area, October 25th and 26th. It's a massive, mega two-day live stream comedy podcast event. We'll have a lot of speakers, a lot of stand-ups, a lot of people from the libertarian sphere. Leonardo Joni will be there. We'll have Elijah Schaefer there. Many other people are coming. Nephilim Death Squad guys will be there. And if you head on over to my Twitter, X at the top, you can get the tickets there to the Bohemian Grove event. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be doing some comedic stuff. I will be performing some cringecore music live, which is sweeping the land. So go get those tickets. Also, if you are interested in our books, my wife and I have all of our books in the shop at jasonelsis.com. And if you head over there, you can get her book on Hollywood. You can get my book on esoteric theology, philosophy, Hollywood, all of that. All of my books are there, signed copies in the shop. So don't get them from Jeff Bezos. Get them from us, and you get signed copies. Now, you were telling us about these different cults and the importance that the role of the goddess played in controlling the masses. And really, we're seeing the reemerge. It's not accidental that We're going into global government, and it's the rise of the goddess ISIS religion. In fact, Madame Blavatsky, who we covered in several fourth hour streams in terms of her espionage background and history, her being very closely linked to the Milner, Fabian, Rothschild circles to spread the proto-New Age movement. I mean, she writes, ISIS unveiled. I just got an actual first edition of that two-volume set the other day. And it's very important, again, for understanding that the system, the establishment, even if you're thinking about something that's so-called scientific, like the Tavistock Institute, which is a big player in pushing this trans agenda for the last decade or so. I mean, Tavistock is very interested also in studying and crafting ideologies and religions and cults for the masses. So you think, well, they studied psychological warfare and propaganda and shell shock. Why would they study it? Because it's about control. That's why. So anything that has the power to have control over people's minds, things like religion, especially New Age feminist goddess cults, are very important for where we are going. So take it up where you left off.
So we were talking about the cobblestone that came to Rome with the goddess worshippers, and that is very close to what they have in Mecca right mm-hmm. now in the cornerstone of their, what is that called?
Well, it's like a relic for them. So
yeah. So this throws back to goddess worship in Mecca as well. So when Imperial Rome conquered, the large part of the Mediterranean world, the religion of Sibyl would follow. And these came to be known as the begging priests. And in the Golden Ass, they are portrayed as living in collectives, loosely attached to local temples from which they venture to prowl the streets and countryside, begging for alms and performing spectacular religious rites. And some of these involve self-harm. So do you want me to read this?
Well, I've read the Golden Ass, and they actually talk about their version of the Virgin Goddess. So they actually worship this Virgin Goddess, which is kind of a mimic of the idea of what Christianity has for the Blessed Virgin. But and as you know, in their cult, this is very different. This is like a mutilation cult.
Well, and not just that, it was a public mutilation cult. So the theater of self-harm, it says, the following day they went out, talking about the Gali, wearing various colored undergarments with turbans and saffron robes and linen garments thrown over them, and everyone hideously made up, their faces crazy with muddy paints and their eyes artfully lined. Does this sound like what's
this
going
on? This sounds like a bride parade.
Yeah. Some wore white tunics fastened with belts with purple stripes in every direction, like spears, and yellow shoes on their feet. They put the goddess, draped in a silk cloak, on the back to carry, and with their arms buried the shoulders, hoisting enormous swords and battle axes, they left about shouting, raving in a religious dance to the singing of pipes. After wandering by a few small cottages, they arrived at some villas of landowners, and entering the first one, they immediately flew around every which way howling. For a long time, they would hang their heads down on their necks with quick twisting motions, whirl their hair hanging around in circles, and sometimes assail their flesh with bites. So they're just like going around in these mad mobs, begging for money, telling fortunes, advertising prostitution.
Well, it's and I mean, the castration that's involved is another extreme form of self-harm.
Yes. And he says, you could see by the cutting of the swords and the blows of the whips, the soil became wet and filthy with the blood of the effeminates. So what is the purpose of all of this? Now, they talk about in this paper that sensory disorder talking about religious rites around the world can create a liminal state of consciousness in which normal distinctions, including in some cases those of gender, are suspended, and this state is the prelude to subsequent reintegration. So in their mind, they are becoming one again in that mystical way before the fall.
Yeah, there's a notion of the original monad. This is a Neoplatonic doctrine. Neoplatonism is very influential in the trans stuff, even if they don't know about it in terms of philosophy. The whole idea of Baphomet having both of the genders, Kabbalistic teaching also has in some of its schools and segments this idea that God was bisexual, Adam Kadmon was bisexual. So a lot of the esoteric hermetic schools, Plato as well, said that the original deity, the original thing, God thing, to use the Biden terminology, Biden worldview, the God thing, I was originally this, bisexual thing, And so to return to a non-binary state or to, you know, mutilate yourself is somehow some sacramental religious action of getting closer to the original monad. Now, all of this is obviously gibberish, but it's interesting when you have this esoteric mystical view, how different it is from, you know, what's in Genesis, where man and woman are created, obviously, biologically and in terms of gender distinct in the beginning. It's the fall into... It's not a fall into sexuality, as some people have thought within history, to make biology and sexuality bad. So the idea is that in order to save man and to save humanity, you have to transgress all boundaries, as if boundaries themselves are the problem. But that's actually the ideology here, is that all boundaries, whether national, whether international, whether social, biological, sexual, everything must be transgressed. All boundaries must be removed to create the ultimate blob that we're all going into.
Yes, so undoubtedly the most shocking practice back then that was attributed to these cults, the Gali in particular, was self-castration. And then they talk about Carl Jung and his comments on the figure of the androgynous person as a projection of a longing for return to the primordial unity.
Exactly what I'm saying.
About.
That's the Gnostic Neoplatonic idea, and I know that they have differences between them, but ultimately the idea is we have to return, escape the body, and go back to the one in some way. And I just read, by the way, keep in mind, he was Agent 488 in the OSS. Carl Jung was a spy. He wasn't just a psychoanalyst. He was also working for the Allied forces as a spy and operative. But the Nashville shooters manifesto was recently released, and I read several pages of that last night doing some research for this. And you'll notice the same patterns in the way that that individual spoke as well, that they, on the one hand, hated their body and their identity. They felt that they were dissociated from what they were born with, and that if they adopted this other identity and this other physical manifestation, they would be happy. But of course, in every manifestation, and the way this person described it in her journal, and she had drawn all these different sort of alternate personalities within another personality. I don't know if this person was MPD, DRD, DID, but the way that she describes herself and draws herself in the diary seemed to give that impression as if she's like a Russian doll of you know, personas within personas. And so in the same way, there's this worship of the body and pleasure at the same time as hating the body and wanting to leave it. So there's this weird duality where these people, I think, constantly flip back and forth between worshiping themselves and the body and the passions, and then also hating it, wanting to destroy it, which is demonic, I think, at the end of the day.
So for natural-born hermaphrodites, also in the ancient world, they were seen as some kind of a portent of something super good or super bad. So what would that translate to?
So like Jonah Hill's coming in, yeah. McLovin, yeah. Something super bad.
So they were marvels, monsters, prodigies, and signs. Now we're talking about natural-born hermaphrodites, not the self-made ones like the Gali. But these people, they were also thought of as neither male nor female, occupied simultaneously social and supernatural planes and both poles of the moral continuum. So they were like what we talk about with the idea of the magician above the checkerboard floor. They transcended good and evil because they were neither male or female.
You mean like in a Masonic lodge,
yes,
or in a black lodge,
yes,
or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Gali were widely assumed to be sexually active with other men, and this also goes along with the temple prostitution, male temple prostitution. And since the homosexual practices were for the receptive partner considered androgenizing, the sexual activity of the Gali served to overdetermine their status as androgynous. So bottoms were androgynous and tops not so much.
Gali.
Gorsh.
It makes me, I mean, wasn't that guy gay? The guy that was always saying golly. And
I
think, is he in, what's the show with Ron Howard?
Happy Days?
Oh, when he was a kid.
Oh.
Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
Wasn't that guy gay?
I don't
Jim
know.
Neighbors.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe he wasn't saying golly. I don't know.
So here we have Christianity and paganism, or the worship of Sybil, clashing in some cities. They were fighting in the streets when the festivals of the two religions coincided, as they often did in the spring. So the Christian fathers found it necessary to pass canon laws against the practice of self-castration by fanatical ascetics who would do it in the name of Christianity because they had learned it from these cults. So it became a canon that you did not do that.
Keep in mind that this is why the church, in one respect, not just his theology, but Origen is condemned as a heretic. He's one of the most famous early church fathers who was anti-Trinitarian, but also he was a Neoplatonist who had very similar views to this. He actually castrated himself, and that's one of the reasons why he was excommunicated. So Origen, who placed really centrally into early subversions of Christianity, is a great example of this. And again, he was a Neoplatonist who thought that ultimately the body was a prison. We got to return back to the monad, to the one. We've got to be reabsorbed into the collective.
Mm-hmm. So let's switch gears and go to India for a second, where they are worshiping the goddess called Bahuchara Mata. And this cult actually is a contemporary cult. They still exist, called the Hijra. And this paper is supposing that the roots may be as old or older than the Gali, going all the way back to Inanna of Sumeria, which is the end of this paper. So the Hijra are super welfare queens. They live in collectives with recognized leaders like gurus. They enjoy acknowledged begging rights. Their primary religious function is to appear at weddings and childbirth to call down the blessings of the goddess.
But the people are retarded.
Yes.
As Osho says, right? The people.
Democracy is devoid of the people.
Yeah.
Okay. So these public performances of the Hijra share several features with the rites of the Gali, including loud rhythmic music, flutes, drums, wild dancing, and body behavior. Also, to earn a livelihood through institutionalized begging and prostitution. The most striking parallel they talk about is...
So they're just like ancient rave festival bros.
Like,
it sounds like an
ancient communist goddess.
But everybody who goes to like a festival would believe in socialism, so...
That's true. So again, these practice castration. In both cases, the procedure appears to have been traditionally performed in a temple with parts buried under a tree. And this is also hearkening back to Osiris.
I was going
to
say, this sounds like Osiris because he also has the John Bobbitt scenario going on.
Exactly. So in the case of the Hijra, both the penis and testicles are removed by an expert. While the initiate chants the name of the mother goddess, the blood is allowed to flow freely in the belief that it drains away the heat that is a source of both maleness and sexual desire. So they're getting rid of their... They want the low T.
Testosterone.
Yes. Yeah. As a result, the initiate is... In Nirvana, he is liberated or reborn and becomes a sannyasi or a saint who embodies the strength of the goddess. So, again, it does not transform the Hijra into women. They are neither men nor women, but they do exaggerate their femininity because they are men. And they do the again, the body public behavior.
The what behavior?
Body. B-A-W-D.
Body.
Yeah. Okay. So the... response to these people, when you see them, they say it hovers between fear and awe. Failure to respond to the request for alms might cause them to utter a fearful curse, or worse, to lift their saris to reveal the scars of the operation that made them holy, an act certain to doom to the viewer, to doom the viewer to calamity. So how many times have you seen this crazy stuff in like a pride parade or something like that? So you have been cursed.
So it's a ritual action there, basically.
So them showing that to you is cursing you.
Mm.
Right. Addis 2, he is
the curse of the junk. Is that what you're saying?
Curse of the missing junk.
Curse of the junk.
Yeah.
Or the non-junk, negative junk.
Yes. Curse of the Kindle. Okay. So Addis, yes, he was castrated. And now let's go to Sumeria, where we talk about Inanna, one of the oldest goddesses. Her priests were called Gala, G-A-L-A. And in their hymns, they both praised and pleaded with the gods for their goodwill. Their job was to be the temple musicians and continuously sing liturgies and lamentations to Inanna. according to the Babylonian text, Enki created the Gala especially to sing heart-soothing laments for the goddess Inanna. The office of chief Gala was one of the highest officials in the city. Now, this is even older. This is like Babylon, Uruk times. Old, old, old-timey times. Anunnaki times. So they were the temple choir, basically, for the Anunnaki. The gala had a role in supervising some of the female personnel referred to by modern scholars as temple prostitutes. So this is the holy prostitute again. Their roles involved the gender transgression. Also, homosexuality was more than implied. The name or the word for gala was written using the cuneiform signs for penis plus anus.
Penis.
Yes. So the penis of Anunnaki.
This is rated R all of a sudden. So.
Sorry.
This is what they're pushing. I mean, so
this is where we get.
This is what they're doing.
The Met right Gala. Now. This is where we get pride parades. This is where we get divination, astrology, tarot.
They're ancient religious processions. They're state-funded religious processions from the ancient world.
So they would go around portraying the goddess in ritual by wearing masks and cross-dressing. Now we're talking about Inanna in Sumeria. The proceedings strikingly similar to those of the Gali of Greco-Roman era, involving the brandishing of swords, knives, and clubs, and perhaps bloodletting performed in a trance state. So
this is like the prophets of Baal and Elijah, too.
Exactly. They were also known for their prominence in crisis rites. So this is an interesting thing of antiquity. So if you did not know what was going to happen in the cosmos, like an eclipse, for example, and the priestcraft did know, they could say this is the god coming at a certain time. We need to appease him with some sacrifices. And then you would just have to go along because you didn't know that these were naturally occurring phenomenons, right?
Yeah, like an Apocalypto Mel Gibson movie,
So things like lunar eclipses and stuff, they were called out to dissolve the evil, right? So now you've got at the time of the birth of Christ, you've got the Gali missionizing the Roman Empire. You've got the Assyrians still doing this. The Gala of Mesopotamia still are a thing. Okay. And then to complete the picture, they have the eunuch priests of Artemis at Ephesus. They also have male temple prostitutes.
The Gala.
That's what I'm saying. Right?
No, it's too easy.
Okay. So all these roles share the traits of devotion to a goddess, gender transgression, homosexuality, and ecstatic ritual techniques. So losing your mind, sex, drugs, rock and roll, anything.
That's to rave,
tune in,
yeah.
Drop out. What is that? How does it go? Tune in, turn on, drop out, or whatever.
Yeah. Turn off.
So we tune in, turn off, drop out. Sibyl, Bahuchara, Mata, and Inanna Ishtar, all three are credited with the power to inspire divine madness, which can include the transformation of gender.
Well, there's also the Bacchanalia in the ancient world, too, which was intentionally a descent into madness to reenact primordial chaos from which life and humanity and order supposedly springs. So, in other words, man isn't an intentional creation. It's kind of an accident. And so to celebrate the chaos at Bacchanalia and other events, men would dress up like women, mm-hmm. women would act like men. And so there's always this transgression of the established, natural borders and delineations, which is seen as a ritual action to enact primordial chaos on purpose.
Right. So all of these transgress patriarchal roles and structures. The influence of these goddesses, they talk about how they're often as destructive as beneficial. So it's not like this mother goddess that is altruistic. It is a dual destruction and creation goddess.
Yes.
So to destroy, to build up, to tear out, and to settle are yours, Inanna. This is an ancient poem. Sumerian text it says, in the next line, to turn a man into a woman and a woman into a man are yours, Inanna.
Right now, I got to hear, how are we going to get to
We're going to have to do a part two.
Because
we're almost done with this paper. So the three cultural regions, goddess-inspired priests, were conceptualized as occupying a distinct gender category, so neither man nor woman. In the Sumerian creation myth, they talk about how the creator fashioned seven types of physically challenged persons, including the woman who cannot give birth and the one who has no male organ or no female organ. And then the god Enki has to find an occupation.
Well, it's always uggos that lead these movements. I mean, like Tristan did a live stream last night, our friend on YouTube. Shout out to Tristan Haggard. He did a whole live stream on polyamorous and polycule relationships. And it's literally like all just total uggos that run that do this stuff.
And it's the frequent reference to priests of the goddess as eunuchs or impotent, and not just because they were so overcome. It's because they have 14 different categories of impotent men, including those naturally impotent men who have castrated themselves, those who are cursed by a supernatural curse, or those afflicted by jealousy, those who spill their seeds, so coomers, and those who are shy, so incels. So they're actually having to find a place in society for these men who cannot do the patriarchal thing of being part of society, having a family, having a job, being a provider, those type of typical patriarchal roles.
So they're essentially trans and incel individuals in the ancient world on the dole.
Yes, and they are tied to the idea of liberty or being liberated from the patriarchy because being a man is too hard. So
they're liberated from responsibility.
Yes. So they're liberated what they call the reign of the phallus, and the self-emasculation is a fantasy of escape from irreconcilable tensions, rendering oneself incapable of fulfilling social or sexual demands of the patriarchal male.
One thing this shows, again, for those that are listening, you're wondering, what does this have to do with anything? Look, the social engineers and the technocrats, this is a paper, this is an academic paper showing that they've studied the ancient world and how societies were ruled and controlled in the ancient world, and they just utilize all those same principles, techniques, and practices today. They just regurgitate, rehash everything. So that's why this is so relevant for now.
Right. So from the perspective of someone who experiences the demands on their masculinity as unwanted, they could castrate themselves and go into nirvana or liberation, right? And this is the liberation of responsibility because the possession of a working phallus was identified with masculinity.
It's the phallus liberation front.
Yes.
They're going to liberate everybody from the phallus.
Well,
which is what the feminists say today. They're basically the penis liberation front.
A working phallus was associated with masculine agency, citizenship. And so to cut this off was a statement of indifference towards the responsibility of being a man citizen, right? So we were talking about Osiris's broken phallus. When they do this, they can serve as vehicles for the transmission of the sexual energy of the goddess. They become her phallus, as it were, erotic aesthetics. So that is this paper, Priests of the Goddess, Gender Transgression in Ancient Religion by Will Roscoe for Stanford University. And then next week...
Now keep in mind, Stanford Research Institute is where we get all the remote viewing, all the occult studies. That's when the government was in the 1960s and especially the 70s, studying the occult, trying to master those techniques. This is where we get Menusteric Goats, all of that stuff comes out of SRI, a Stargate Project, the occult, the gateway process, all of that comes out of SRI, Stanford Research. So that's also a big sort of adjacent to MKUltra studies. They produced the famous Changing Images of Man, which is another famous white paper about how we're going to go into a completely different world. Did you want to leave us with something?
Yeah, so I guess we'll have to have a part two next week. We'll go into all of that blubber about how Washington, D.C. was built to house a goddess, a particular goddess. We'll save that for next week and be her body and live inside of her.
Well, you can follow Jamie on YouTube, Jamie Hanshaw, and on Rockfin as well. Follow me on X, Jay Dyer, and this is the Alex Jones Show. Go to the InfoWars store and get those products.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable, and it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast-to-coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored? That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming at Real Alex Jones on X.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.